Good morning. Thanks for coming and listening to me talk about this. So for the presentation this morning, I'm taking from the Republic an account of reason that is premised on its inability to found a proper state. As such, the goal of Plato's text is not the actualization of a philosopher king, but rather what is conveyed is an examination of reason in an argument for an understanding of politics through philosophy's ability to comprehend the limits of reason itself. Plato makes this explicit in his presentation of the creation of the city and speech in Book 2 and 3 and the discussion of the pilot metaphor. Just a little bit of background info. The Republic undertakes an examination of the nature of justice. Plato's main interlocutor, Socrates, has been invited to Cephalus's house by Cephalus's son, Polemarchus, in an attempt to provide a proper definition of justice. This task begins with three attempts made by Cephalus, Polemarchus, and finally Thrasymachus, each drawing from the previous account, but arriving at a different conclusion. The difficulty in reaching a universal account of justice leads to the creation of the city of speech, and Socrates suggests that they create the ideal city, and in and through this, might be able to locate justice itself. Arising from the dialogue between Socrates, Glaucon, and Adeimantus, the city and speech is constructed in three main arguments, each following from the previous and is founded on the most rational outcomes as decided by the speakers. These arguments each begin with the goal of reaching the most rational conclusion. However, upon examination, each serves to demonstrate reason's inability to properly found the state. In and through this, Adeimantus raises an accusation against philosophy as being viewed as useless within the city, which requires Socrates' response in the form of the pilot metaphor. So, to begin, the first act of Socrates' city and speech conveys an element of political equality within the constructed city itself. In building the city through pure reason, Socrates argues that there must be an elimination of political distinction between men and women. Contextually, this idea is entirely novel and would have been viewed as completely ridiculous within the Greek tradition. In contending for the inclusion of women, what Socrates is ultimately arguing is a regard for women as equals in all facets of life within the city. So this would include education and ultimately training as warriors for the defense of the city. As a result, women under this premise could join the warrior class and fight alongside men in the protection of the city. In and through this, the outcome would be, quote, women exercising naked with men in the palisades, unquote. Glaucon expresses what is likely to be the common Greek reaction to Socrates' suggestion, another quote, by Zeus, that would look ridiculous in the present state of things, unquote. The pure reason employed by Socrates and comprehended by the others demonstrates the way in which Socrates' presentation becomes problematic. The absurdity of proposing that men and women train naked together is used by Socrates to illumine that reason is not powerful enough to know where to draw the lines in terms of conventional Greek society. Socrates' first illustration holds true to the limited condition of reason as it displays the absurd conclusions that are employable under reason alone. Further building on this idea is the second illustration of communal property. Socrates moves from the absurd to the scandalous and calls for the destruction of the conventional family. The condition of communal property asserts that, quote, there is a need for the best men to have intercourse as often as possible with the best women, and the reverse for the most ordinary men with the most ordinary of women, unquote. The second illustration transforms the traditional family through eugenics, a selective breeding of perfect citizens. What Socrates exemplifies in this is a founding of the citizen, not the cultivation of the individual. Subsequently, the individual family unit is inconceivable and is replaced with the civic communal family. Socrates elicits a scandalous result that radically differs from traditional Greek custom. Quote, and all this must come to pass without being noticed by anyone except the rulers themselves, unquote. In conveying that this action must be done discreetly, Socrates makes explicit the difference that he is proposing for Athenian life. If this conclusion were to be acceptable, it would not have to remain hidden. This presents the notion that familial ties transcend reason, and it is unacceptable to conceive of the destruction of the family as such. If the interlocutors are building a perfect city, then the bonds must be to the city, not the particular family. Again, this illuminates a move from the particular to the more universal outlook of a communal state. Before people become citizens, Socrates' conception of the city and speech must intrude into their private lives. Socrates must promote the destruction of the natural bonds of family and implement civic boundaries in their place. It is because of this irrational family tie that Socrates must necessarily hold that it is to be concealed. Pure reason is limited in its ability to produce a conception that does not require this concealment, which further illumines its failure to found the proper state. This idea further illustrates Plato's overall argument that understanding reason requires an understanding of its limits. Reason itself, used perfectly, cannot create an ideal communal society and thus demonstrates its inability to found the state. Primarily, the third example serves as a consequence of the previous two. Plato combines the implicit aspects in the conception of the philosopher king. Socrates concludes the Cidian speech and puts forth the notion that, quote, the philosopher rules as king, and the political power in philosophy will thus coincide, unquote. The realization of the philosopher king is understood as having the best rule. Socrates' proposition is premised on the philosopher king acting with reason as his sole guiding principle. His suggestion has created a change in the philosopher's orientation, one of contemplation to one of political rule. The focus of reason becomes political instead of remaining philosophical, yet within the conception, reason rules ultimately. It becomes operant in the city as a power principle. Plato has conceived of the Cidian speech as founded upon pure reason, and subsequently the city that he builds, deteriorates just as quickly. Essentially, in allowing reason to rule absolutely, Plato is able to caution the reader that, quote, when they have come plainly tonight, one will be able to defend oneself, showing that it is by nature fitting for them both to engage in philosophy and to lead the city, unquote. Plato directly separates the task of philosophy and ruling the city. He argues that philosophy and philosophers themselves have been viewed incorrectly. They have not come plainly to light, so in other words, there is something about philosophy that remains misunderstood, and as such, their actions remain misconstrued. This illustration leads me to the philosopher king and Plato's implicit argument in the reading of the pilot metaphor. This image is articulated by Socrates as an answer to the accusation from Adeimantus that the philosopher appears useless to the people of the city. I will argue that Plato embeds an argument against reason as a founding principle itself, demonstrated through the stargazer persona of the metaphor. Plato's pilot metaphor presents an image of politics through the analogy of navigating a ship. The ship, whose owner, quote, surpasses everyone on board in height and strength, yet is rather deaf and likewise somewhat short-sighted, unquote. Here Socrates makes reference to the masses of the city. The people are constantly being flattered by the politicians, who are represented as the quarreling sailors attempting to gain control of the ship. These men are consumed with gaining control, as, quote, they are always crowded around the ship owner himself, begging and doing everything so that he'll turn the rudder over to them, unquote. Socrates directly correlates the skill of navigating the ship to the power gained through navigating a state. He states that they beg and do anything to gain control, an allusion to the politicians who look to gain control through the support of the masses. Lastly, it is the conception of the philosopher or stargazer, the one who, quote, pays special attention to the years, seasons, heavens, stars, winds, and everything that's proper to the art, unquote. Socrates expresses his contention that sailing requires skill. The hidden argument in this illustration is the non-action taken by the stargazer himself. Unlike the philosopher king, Socrates does not have the stargazer assume control, despite his ability to actually properly navigate the ship. Instead, he is content to leave him looking to the stars, a direct symbol of navigation, because they do not change. The stars are here conceived of as an eternal, the cosmos, and as such, the philosopher is engaged in a looking to a standard which does not change. He has an orientation or a regard for that which is ordered and principled. If Plato truly conceived of a philosopher king, then the metaphor would ultimately fail. The stargazer would be required to descend back into the temporal world, forced to engage in the fight for control of the ship with the other quarreling sailors. In doing so, his point of reference must be reoriented to the ship itself, and thus would take him away from that which he regards, the unchanging nature of the cosmos. Plato establishes this argument to demonstrate the consequence of philosophical rule. The task of the philosopher in Plato's metaphor is not to gain control, but rather to manifest the limits of reason through a critical understanding of it itself. In effect, quote, it's not easy for the best pursuit to enjoy a good reputation for those who practice the opposite, unquote. The philosopher is presented in opposition to those looking to rule, and thus Plato demonstrates true philosophy as the understanding of reason's limits and not the quest for political rule. Ultimately, it is philosophy that must educate the sailors, those who would rule, to value that which he regards rather than founding the state through pure reason. Plato's Republic offers a critical analysis of the principle of reason and demonstrates through textual instances that reason itself cannot enact the political state. Plato ultimately argues that it is the task of philosophy to understand these limits, work within them, and illumine the constraints of reason for the ruling in order to found the true Platonic city. That's all I have.